Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, Georgia, it's time for Alpharetta Business Radio, spotlighting the area's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning, everyone. Chris Deekle here with Alpharetta Business Radio. We have a very special guest in studio with us today, Steve Beacham with Hometown Marketing. Steve is somebody I've had the pleasure of meeting two or so years ago at a seminar, and he had written a book that was so impressive I decided I would buy it, and I've given out several copies, and the people that have received it have been just, you know, more than happy that they've received that. And I wanted to share, Steve, the things he's doing and the ways he can help you on our show this morning. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, when I first met you, you had a great shtick that you did where you sounded and very much, you know, put on a show very much like Jeff Foxworthy. I understand you actually know him.
Well, I know I've met him. I don't really know him. I wish I knew him better. Maybe one day he'll invite me over for a beer or something. But I just had a sort of a happenstance, I guess you will, if ran into Jeff in the parking lot, and it was a big story for me. I know it wasn't a big story for him, but you know, it's not every day you get to meet somebody of that caliber, and I was just blown away when I met him on how nice a guy he was and how concerned he was about making the conversation about me. And it was a big turning point for me and meeting somebody that caliber who actually, you know, wasn't pompous, I guess.
What was it about him that was so attractive and appealing?
Well, I think, you know, the story I tell is that Jeff, he made the conversation about me, and I met him. I was walking towards him in the parking lot, and I'm thinking, what's my favorite redneck joke, or what am I going to say? And but anyway, so he just made the whole conversation about me. And during that time, I was doing a lot of studying on what makes people talk about you, what makes people refer you. And it dawned on me during that interaction with Jeff that what I needed to start doing was spend more time making the conversation about the other person. Because, in sales, we're all about, walking into somebody and saying, hey, I've got the greatest widget in the world. I've got the cheapest price. I got the fastest delivery. And what I realized was that we're just hustling everybody all the time. And it helped me come up with the concept of helping people first instead of hustling them. And that kind of spawned some other things that happened, and that's kind of what led into the book, Bass Ackward Business.
Bass Ackward Business. And what's the message in that book, Steve?
Basically, the main message is that other people will help you as long as you've kind of got some credit with them. And so what I do is I spend all my time trying to help all the people that I know get to where they want to go. And when you do that, it becomes more fun, and you also are able to discover things about the other person that you might not otherwise get to discover in a regular conversation that's all about you. So you make the conversation all about the other person. You spend all of your time trying to help that other person, kind of like, I often say, kind of like my grandmother did. My grandmother would call me and say, how are you doing? How's school? Do you need any money? Blah, blah, blah. And she never said, hey, I need something from you. But it would always end up with me wanting to go over to her house and help her with something because she had called me first and made the conversation about me. So helping without hustling is all about kind of going what I call bass ackwards in the way we're typically taught to do in sales, and trying to help your other fellow man get to where they want to go. And then they'll reciprocate by saying, how can I help you? And then you've got to be really good at being able to paint them a picture of what it is you're looking for. So you can't just say, well, if you know anybody needs a mortgage or you know anybody needs a speaker, you've got to be better about explaining what type of person you're looking for. And that's a real key concept that I think a lot of people miss out on, is they get that chance you're there at the lacrosse field or football field and you're talking to another parent. And, and they say, what do you do? And people just say, well, I'm a speaker or, I'm an electrician. And they don't really spend enough time saying, I'm a speaker, and if you know anybody that works at, you know, I'd speak to places like ServPro or Rollins or Orkin, and those are three companies I'd really like to speak to, and I go in and train their salespeople how to be better at getting referral business. And then when you do it that way, then the other person might say, well, I know a guy who works at ServPro. And that's how you get a chance to really meet people on a and develop relationships with them and hopefully get in there and get to do some business with them.
So is that part of the mission of Hometown Marketing?
Yeah, Hometown Marketing's main mission is to go out and help people that are struggling right now with business or people. You know, the way I look at it, there's a certain set of salespeople that can really get into the cold calling and the negativity that goes with it, can really, you know, push themselves through and come out on the other end and really just, be sort of the kind of person that's got that A personality, and they just, you know, nothing bothers them and they're really determined. But what I find is that there's about 75% of the people out there in sales that really are turned off by that. They don't really want to take internet leads because they know that they got to talk to the person and go through all the stuff and explain about what it is they're doing, and they get sort of, you know, bored with the fact that the people don't, you know, want to, what's your price, and you know, it's just a lot of stuff that goes with it, a lot of selling, a lot of extra selling. So my whole concept is how can you get people to buy from you? How can you put yourself in a situation where somebody's buying your product or calling you and wanting to buy your product versus you being in a situation where you're always out there trying to sell somebody your product? So if you help other people first and you help your friends and you stay in contact with the people that are already in your village, and I call it being the mayor of your village, if you're kind of the mayor of your village and everybody kind of knows what you're looking for and you're always trying to help other people and what they're looking for, then what happens is people end up calling you because your friends will refer you to them, and they'll call you and say, hey, I understand you're the greatest speaker in the world, and that I've got this sales organization, and my friend so-and-so told me that you would be great to come in, and then so they're just buying from you. And so that's my whole thought process, is how do I set up a situation where somebody calls me and says, I want to purchase what you're selling.
Yeah, and do the attitudes of the people that you meet now, you know, get in the way of that, the way they think about things?
I would say no. What I'm finding out is that as I talk to these organizations, there's, like I said, there's about 75% of the people that are going, man, this is cool. This is a different way of doing sales. I mean, I've been trained to do it this other way, and now here's a fun way. Here's a way that feels better with my heart. It feels more like, you know, the kind of I can be the person that I want to be. I can approach anybody, because if you approach somebody with a thought process that you really want to help them, it's not that you're trying to approach them to sell them something. You're approaching them to really help them. Then there's nobody you can't walk up to. There's nobody you can't call. There's nobody that you can't help.
It's because you're really sincerely interested in helping them first, not yourself. And by doing that, if I'm hearing you right, you're saying, hey, you know, focus on helping them. The rewards will come back to you.
Definitely. And I'm living testament to that. I took that philosophy and said, I'm going to work this philosophy, and I want to see if it pays off. And what I learned was there's certain characteristics of that. If I just helped people all the time and never told them how they could help me, then I would never receive the reciprocity of somebody helping me. So the key is not only being out there helping other people, but the second part is if they ask, and only if they ask, how are you doing, then you've got to be able to paint them some sort of picture of what it is you're looking for. And that way, if they see that picture, then they'll send that person to you.
Yeah, you talk a lot about helping other people. Are you a member of any organizations or on the boards or anything of any charitable organizations?
Yeah, and I am. I mean, I'm on the board of a really cool school called the Ron Clark Academy. And the Ron Clark Academy has kind of its mission to be sort of you know, the Brian Tracy sales training for school teachers. You know, what we found is that a lot of school teachers, they get their certificate and they go straight into the classroom and they pretty much stay in the classroom for 20 or 30 years. And then they retire and they don't get to see a lot of other teachers teach. And so what the Ron Clark Academy does is they set up a situation where teachers come down to their school and sit in different classrooms of really top-notch teachers. So they get to see each teacher's tactics and techniques on how they teach. And so when they leave for the day, they usually see that there's one teacher there that kind of they kind of bond with, that they kind of say, you know, that I like the way that person's style. And what it allows them to do is go back and have more passion in the classroom about what they're doing. And the Ron Clark Academy has realized that one of the key things in teaching is you take really the top student and you teach to the top student, and it brings the bottom students along. And that's kind of a different philosophy than what most teachers are working with now. So anyway, so I actually had met Ron at a Rotary meeting, and was telling him that you know, that he needed to quit. He was trying to raise money to open the school, and he was out speaking at Rotary clubs and stuff. And so I said, you know, Ron, what we need to do is we need to get on the cocktail circuit, not the chicken circuit, because he was out, you know, on the chicken circuit. And I said, when you go to cocktail circuit, I said, people write bigger checks because they've had a glass of wine and they write a check for $1,000, not for $10. And my wife and I had a party for Ron, and we raised a bunch of money for his school. And so he said, man, you need to be on my board. So that's how I got on the board at Ron Clark Academy, and it's been a fabulous school, and it's a really cool thing. So if you know anybody that's a teacher, you ought to sponsor them a day down at the Ron Clark Academy. It's about $300 for a day to send a teacher. So that's kind of what we're doing. They have about 3,000 or 4,000 teachers a year come through this school. It's pretty phenomenal.
Is that just in the Georgia area, or is that nationwide?
No, they're coming in from all over the world.
No kidding.
Yeah, we've got teachers coming from different countries to see what he's doing. You know, he won Disney National Teacher of the Year. Disney made a movie about him called The Ron Clark Story. Anyway, but you know, because my first thought was to figure out how I could help this guy raise money for the school, it ended up in me being having a chance to sit on his board, which is pretty cool. But then because of that, what's happened is I've been able to meet a couple of teachers in the school, and because of that, I've done a couple of mortgages, which is kind of, you know, the company that I kind of got started in is a mortgage business.
You had quite a reputation in that, you know, during when there was still a real estate market.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the cool thing is it's starting to come back a little bit. We've lost about 90% of the people that were in the mortgage business, especially the mortgage brokerage business. And so right now we're actually doing okay. We just don't have, I don't have the same amount of employees I have. And so, but anyway, I still own the mortgage company, and it's a viable entity, and it's still ongoing. And I've got a few people that still work with me in the mortgage business. But, you know, my heart and my passion now have moved towards this, helping other people find a better way to grow their business. And it's, and you know, my main market with the hometown marketing is small business people and salespeople that work for companies that really need to get out into the public and really figure out how to grow their business.
What are the challenges you see those people face? How does it affect them?
Well, they kind of end up in a situation where they're relying on the company for their business. I mean, if you're a pest control guy, you're waiting on your pest control provider to advertise and get you leads and stuff. If you're a small business person and you're in a shopping center, you know, you're paying X amount of rent to be in a really good location, and you're kind of stuck in the store, and you're counting on the traffic walking by, like mall-type traffic, for people to come in, and you're thinking in your mind that if I do a really good job for somebody, then they're going to refer folks to me. And that happens to a certain degree, but if you really want to turbocharge that, if you really want lots of people to talk about you and lots of people to send you business, then what you've got to do is you've got to start thinking differently. And part of that is that you've got to really drill down with people by having deeper conversations with them when you're at their place of business or they're at your place of business. You really got to start learning about them and their passions and their pains. And when you learn about somebody's pains and passions, then it gives you an opportunity to refer either somebody to them or them to somebody. So, for instance, everybody you meet, if you're talking to them and you really want to know about them and you're really curious about them as a person, you know, if you've got a retail store and some lady's in there shopping at your store and you really start the conversation about her and her family and her kids and what she does for a business or what she does for fun, a lot of times you can discover there's something going on in her life that maybe you could help her with. And so then you tap into the rest of your village of people that you know and say, who in my village sees this person's pain as their pleasure? And so that might be that she's having a problem with her plumbing right now, and you happen to know somebody that's a plumber, and so you hook them up. So, but then again, you might be talking to this lady, and she might find out that she's a Pilates expert, and she's really into Pilates. And then the next customer comes in is thinking, you know, I got to get in shape, and I'm thinking about Pilates. And so then you hook that person's pain of being out of shape with the last lady that was just in there about her Pilates expertise. And because you remembered her expertise, that creates a wow within her. And when you create wows within people, it creates reciprocity in them. And that's how you get people to refer you. People start wanting to go out and try to figure out ways to send you business based on the fact that you wowed them. Because so you have this deeper conversation with somebody and you learn about them and you learn about their pains and pleasures. And if they have a pain, then you hook them up with somebody else in your village that sees that as a pleasure. And it creates a wow in both of those folks. And those wows create reciprocity. And reciprocity creates referral business.
As you know, it's smart selling without having to work. Just by trying to help others, you'll help yourself.
That's exactly right. And then I've got this new thing I'm working on, Chris, that's really, really pretty cool, and it's basically your buzz.
Now, tell me about that.
Well, I'm excited about it because I've been doing what I call buzz surveys. So I've been taking a couple small businesses, some that, that weren't thriving and some that are thriving. And what I've done is I've gone in and I've surveyed or interviewed their customers. And I'm asking them, so I sit down with the business owner first and I say, you know, what are the really cool things about you? And I want to know, you know, like you've won an award or, you know, you're the top, you know, State Farm agent or you're, you know, what's cool about your restaurant? You know, what kind of food do you think you have? And if you, almost anybody you talk to that's in business, they think they have certain things that are unique about their business. And so I'm trying to get them to tell me about their uniqueness because, to me, that's your buzz. The problem is that buzzing is a little bit like bragging. And so most people don't go out and say, hey, I just won an award for the top sales guy in my company, because they know that's bragging. But if you take that top sales award that you won and you're in a conversation with somebody and they say, you know, how's business? You say, man, it's great, you know. I really love the company I work for. I just got back from the Prague because I won a sales trip because I qualified. I was a top salesman in my territory. Well, if you tell somebody that in that way, mm-hmm. Now what that does is that's given me buzzable information mm-hmm. about you. So the long and short is this: is that if you, Chris, go and tell somebody about me, the only stuff that you can tell them about me is the stuff that you know about me. And the only way you're going to know stuff about me is if I've told somebody else who's told you or if I've told you myself. And so what you've got to think about is if you've got certain things about your business or about you personally that you think are pretty cool and unique, then you've got to find ways to get that into your conversation with other people. Because if you can get that into that conversation with people, then when that person leaves you and gets an opportunity to talk about you, then that's what they're going to say. And so it's kind of like the movie restaurant, restaurant situation, where if you go see a good movie and you and I run into you and say, man, have you seen so-and-so movie yet? And I say, no, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, it was really good. My wife and I went. We really loved it. And then 2 days later, I run into somebody else. Hey, Beach, have you seen so-and-so movie yet? And I say, you know, no, another friend of mine was telling me about it. Man, my wife and I loved it. Well, now it becomes religion. So I say two times is religion. So if you've heard the same thing twice, then in your mind it becomes religion. and it makes you want to go out and go do it. Same thing with a restaurant. If somebody said, man, we went to so-and-so restaurant, it just opened, they got really good fish. And then somebody else says, man, we went to so-and-so restaurant, and they got really good pork or fish. Then now you say to your wife, hey, honey, I heard a lot of good things about so-and-so restaurant. We need to go check it out. And that's how people grow their business. And so if you think about it that way, then the information that you put out about you and your business is really, really important, because it's the story that other people use to tell folks about you.
What about social media? Isn't that an attempt to do the same thing in mass?
Yeah, yeah, and it can work. But I think to a certain degree, you want to do it on social media, but for a certain piece of that is kind of expected, I guess, is the word I'm thinking about. I mean, if you've got a business and you're putting that out, because you're putting that out all the time and you're good at social media, then it just kind of becomes old hat. But it does have a way of refreshing people's mind, kind of what you're doing, and you do want to do it. But I think what the piece that I'm concentrating on, that I think is the strongest piece, is the word of mouth. So anyway, if you think about communication's got all kind of different degrees of communication, and in print is or you know, an email or something like that is probably the least, but that one-on-one face-to-face is probably the best piece of communication. And so when you can do that, so you want to do it in social media, but you also want to think about and be more conscious about doing it in person.
And there's nothing, what you're saying then is there's nothing like the power of the face-to-face human communication to establish your credibility and make you real and approachable and someone they can trust.
Exactly. So if you're sending me stuff about you in an email, I'm learning about it, but I'm not really inspired to go out and tell other people about it. So I have it, and if somebody asks me, then I can refer to it, and that's good. But if I meet you one-on-one and we have a discussion, and I can feel your passion about what it is you do and feel how proud you are about the fact that you won this sales award or that you've got this new line of clothing in your store or whatever it is, then I'm really a lot more inspired to go out and talk about it, because it came from you personally, and I just really feel it a lot more.
Do you think there's any role for this kind of thinking in government?
Wow. Yes. I think that's already there. We call it spin. But I think, you know, based on what I saw with this last election, there was, you know, the Democrats did a lot better job of getting out the buzz than the Republicans did. And I think that's important on how you put that buzz out there. But see, you got to make it, I think what's important is you got to feel the passion piece of that buzz. To me, that's what really makes it talkable. When you, it's like me telling the story about Jeff Foxworthy. I could feel his warmth and passion for really wanting to know about me, and so that makes me want to go talk about it. And I think that's important. I mean, you, when you go and you see a speaker in person, and you really feel from them that they're really excited about what they're doing, and that they're all in, so to speak, it makes you really want to go out and tell other people about it.
Was there anything in your background or life when you were growing up that kind of, you know, moved you in this direction of helping people and thinking about, well, doing things bass-ackwards?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Or did you just come to it naturally?
I don't know. I think so. And I think as you get older and you start discovering certain things about yourself and your strengths and your weaknesses, you know, I finally came to the realization that that it's important to kind of understand what makes you tick. And what I discovered was that helping other people was one of the main things that helped me tick. And I think what's unique about that is if you talk to salespeople, most of them will tell you that the reason why they like sales is they like helping other people. They just don't really, they've never really spent any time figuring out what piece of helping other people is important to them. And And so what I came away with was that, and the story I like to tell is that once I figured out, I like helping other people get to where they want to go. So I've kind of added that second piece to it. So like, if I was at Walmart and I was a greeter and you came in and you said, "Where's the tire section?" and I pointed you to the tire section, then I would be fulfilled because I helped you get to where you want to go. So I realized that helping people get to where they want to go for me was huge. And as long as I could get that in my day every day, then I had a fulfilling, satisfied day. And so if you like helping people, then if you can figure out what it is you like helping them do other than, you know, put cash in your pocket, then you can really come away with some fantastic days because you can set yourself up for your day to be filled with lots of that. And I actually have a little speech that I do on that, because once you figure out what it is that satisfies you, that's kind of your life passion or your purpose in life, then the big aha, according to Stephen Covey, and I agree with him, is that if you can help somebody else discover their passion or purpose in life, then that's the most fulfilling thing that can ever happen to you. And so that's kind of why I enjoy what I'm doing so much now, is I've kind of somewhat discovered what makes me tick, and now I'm helping other people kind of discover what makes them tick. And so I walk away just totally satisfied that this other person has said, "Wow," or "Aha, I get it," or "This is really neat. I see that I can do this differently and it can be more fun." And so I'm developing ideas and things around the idea that if I go to work every day and I can have fun and I can sell stuff, or I can get people to buy my widget from me, then really for me, my day is really not about the selling of the widget. It's really about having fun all day, helping other people get where they want to go. And then somebody calls me and they want to buy my widget, but I don't have to really sell them. They just call me and say, "Hey, Chris told me to call you and I'm having a sales meeting and I need you to come speak at my meeting. You know, can you be there on such and such a day?" And so that's what I've developed, is this situation of every day I spend my whole day trying to help people. And then out of that, somebody will call during the middle of the day and say, "I want to buy your widget." And I say, "Fine, this is how much it is, and this is when I can be there." And then I do the widget thing, and then I go back to helping people.
It's a stealth. It really is stealth marketing for a good cause. You know, their satisfaction and to keep groceries on the table.
Right.
Yeah.
But the key is that people go to, they go to Chamber of Commerce meetings or something like that. I'm sorry. When you go to the Chamber of Commerce meeting, you know, you say, you know, "This is what I do. This is what I do. Here's my card. Buy my printing service. Buy my, you know, come by and let me dry clean, or come to my restaurant and let me eat." And you're handing out cards and you're getting cards. And so what I call that sort of a social conversation. So it's like I'm telling you how I can help you, and you're telling me how you can help me, but neither one of us are helping each other. And so we have an understanding of what each other does. But if you can be the one that just stops for a minute and says, "I'm not going to really promote my business. What I'm going to do is figure out how to bring business to these other people," then they just come to you like a magnet, man. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems so, you know, natural, and it's a great message.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a new way of it's today's way of doing business, which is back to the village when you knew the shopkeeper.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and you know, you said you're a speaker. You've got a book. You're working on another one. You know, it sounds like you're a guy that, you know, almost anybody would want to either have come talk at one of their meetings, you know, put on a sales presentation, teach them how to think differently about business. If they want to do that, how do they get in touch with you and get a copy of your book?
Well, they can reach me on my email, which is steve@hometownmoney.com. They can call me on my cell phone, which is 770-634-2531. They can check out a couple of web pages that I have. I have one that's called www.bassackwardbusiness.com, BASSACKWARDbusiness.com. And then I have another sort of a video web page, which is stevebeacham.com, and you can see a video or something for those that have never seen me. And, you know, what I'm trying to work on right now, Chris, is I'm doing, I'm going out and certain companies are hiring me to come in, and I do like an hour and a half speaking slash workshop, because I want people to leave. I don't want to just speak to people. I want people to leave with a little nugget in their pocket of, you know, I can go back and do this differently tomorrow, and hopefully it'll change my ability to get more referrals. But I've started doing some half-day workshops, and it's really the return on the investment is so much more, because you not only get to do hear sort of the philosophy and the ideas, but you also get to – we also spend a little time showing you how to set it up. So I've got sort of this certain way I do things, and basically what I do is I just get people to put names of folks that they already know in their phone. And so that every morning when you get up, there's three or four people for you to call that are friends of yours. They're people that are already in your village. These aren't new people. These are existing people already in your village. And call those people and figure out how you can help them today. And you start this process of every day calling a few people, trying to figure out how you can send them more customers or how you can make their day easier. And so I'm doing half-day workshops where I do that. We talk about your buzz, and we talk about also another piece on a lot of people in sales. You know, you have to constantly deal with negative thinking. And so I've got sort of some stuff around that on how can you deal with eliminating negative thought processes. And so we do that in a half-day thing. And then I have sort of a retreat that I do at my cabin up in the mountains where I take 10 successful business people and kind of put them all in a room together, and we do what we call sort of a brainstorming thing where you present to the group something you're trying to work on, something you're trying to figure out, and let the group ask you questions and help you work through that process. And it's been very successful. I've got a half-day seminar and a cabin brainstorming trip coming up in first part of December if anybody wants to go. And then I'm doing coaching. And I've been practicing with it for a while and had some pretty good success. And so now I'm starting to offer that to the public, and I offer the first hour coaching for free. And then my coaching fee is $100 an hour, which I think is very cheap, considering what everybody else is charging. But my main thought process is I want to get back and I want to help people. And so we're doing some coaching, and it's fun.
Yeah. And one more time, how do they get in touch with you, Steve?
You can check me on my webpage at bassackwardbusiness.com, or you can email me at steve@hometownmoney.com.
Great. Well, thank you for being in the studio with us today, Steve. It's been a pleasure, and we hope to have you back soon.
Great. Thank you for having me, Chris.